The next thing the contract talks about is seller disclosures and addenda in paragraph 11. I think this is interesting because addenda usually is a paragraph of its own or other terms and conditions, but for some reason Carr stuffed this in here, and I think, as I said earlier, they were looking for a space problem so that the contract didn't go to 9 pages, and I think this had a little room in it, and I think they stuck it in there because they asked the question, seller shall within the time frame specified complete and provide the buyer with one of two choices. One is the SPQ form, the seller property questionnaire, or the SSD form, which is the seller contractual statutory disclosure form. Frankly, those documents are going to change over the years as there's a new lawsuit comes down. Carr modifies those from time to time. So I would say I would always try to provide my sellers with the advice that they should fill out the one that has the most questions. That is, the more disclosure the seller makes, the safer they're going to be. The next part of this paragraph is about addenda. There's a list of various addenda that Carr uses that you need to think about when you're writing this offer as a buyer's agent. Do I need those? The first one that's mentioned is the WPA form, which is about termites if you want a Section 1 clearance. We talked about that a little bit earlier. Then there's the PAA form, which is the basic addenda, and that has things on it like a backup offer and issues like that, or the contract is contingent on the sale of another property. So do you need that? There's also the short sale addenda. If you're selling a property and it's a short sale, you need this short sale addenda, which basically says what? It basically says that the time frames for this contract don't really begin until the lender approves the sale. Then there's the septic well and property monument addendum. So there's just this whole series of addenda that you might want to use. So think as you're writing the offer whether this applies or not, and then check the box. Now, if I'm a listing agent, I look at this paragraph in a different way because I say, I see that this is checked, this is checked, this is checked, and it's not included in the contract. It also has a list of what I call advisories. You remember I talked earlier about the probate advisory and the trust advisory and the REO advisory and the statewide advisory and all these different advisories which are warning to buyers about what needs to be done and what should be provided during the transaction. So make sure that you check the ones that are applicable in every transaction. And if you're the listing agent and the buyer didn't check the boxes, then I would counter those documents back into the transaction by putting in my counteroffer buyer to provide the following within X number of days.